It's like, get new material. You've been doing the same joke for 10 years.
You know, every time I finish a video on this stupid subject, something else stupid happens, and it escalates.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
Something so clown shoes, you'd never imagine it happening. But with the current administration, anything asinine is possible.
Remember when the head of the nuclear waste management was arrested for stealing women's clothing?
Stop him! On March 11th, Lyle made us aware that Homeland Security was wasting taxpayer dollars on Gamergate, of all things. Yes, you heard me correctly. A company called Take This gets grants to talk about the boogeyman of gaming. The average hyper-left progressive suffers from what we call Trump derangement syndrome. The average hyper-left game developer / progressive, and I use the term developer loosely, has Gamergate derangement syndrome. And it's on full display here.
Someone at Sweet Baby noticed that this account was made on Steam and noticed how it was gaining traction and noticed that it was intended to prevent people from buying and playing these games and requested that it be taken down for organized harassment. And that kicked off even more organization from them, the people who made the Steam group. And then it just kind of leans into the conspiracy theories that plague the internet, that plagued the first iteration of this movement against wokeness or women or people of color in games, and, you know, ultimately led to the playbook of the Trump White House.
Sad. Very sad. Sad.
Department of Homeland Security funding Take This just put out a document demanding that game companies denounce Gamergate 2.
Quotation marks.
Okay, now the is going to hit the fan. Hate and harassment and toxic behavior have no place in gaming. By taking direct, targeted action in a timely manner, we can mitigate our future harm to talented and dedicated folks in gaming and help prevent additional reoccurrences of these harmful events.
Yes, it's practically 9/11 that people made a curator group for Sweet Baby. God help us all. The gamers are unionizing. Give me monies. Skimming over these archives, I can tell you that there are three words that always accompany one another. Hate, harassment, and extremist. Didn't like Sushi Squad's story?
Nope.
Oh, buddy. I guess you're an extremist. Ratio to Sweet Baby Dev, who is being a douchebag on Twitter? Look out. We have targeted harassment on our hands here because he was forced to delete his hot take because he felt like a jackass. Look what you did, Mudahar. You are targeting and harassing a retarded person.
Apparently, there was a Games for Change festival where the Take This org basically promotes social justice and all other usual BS you would expect. A bunch of people who love preaching with PowerPoints, but without the data or research to back it up.
It's over. We are screwed.
Lack of industry diversity.
Oh, no.
Privilege the white male gamer.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Engendered
misogyny, hardcore games, and the manosphere, Gamergate.
What?
Normalizing extremist discourse and ideology.
That's the clown face. This whole thing is clown shoes.
Extremist evangelization.
What?
Mainstream games, soft sell, white supremacy.
Put a biohazard sign on a briefcase, and then the process repeats itself.
Thank God. The Department of Homeland Security paid $700,000 for this PowerPoint, written by a woman that probably lives with cats in her home, smells of piss.
It is crazy. We say to give a woman power is like to give a gun to a monkey.
Yeah, this is money well spent. $700,000 to study the little understood phenomenon for which there is no actual effing evidence. The DHS spends almost $700,000 investigating the radicalized gamer.
We're going to skip ahead to an article by the ADL. We have an out-of-touch politician focusing on the threat of gamers. That's what you get for messing with black-owned businesses, you little bigots.
As digital social spaces, online games should be regulated to address hate and extremism. It's vital for Congress to examine extremist radicalization in these spaces. And we are grateful to Republican Lori...
Who the hell cares what her name is?
...for leading this effort in an important piece to read.
Ah, yes. Migrants selling stolen products in the streets of New York. The government sleeps. Gamers play Fortnite and possibly razz a slightly gay-sounding kid. We need to mobilize.
Oh. We've come to eliminate all gays.
All gays. Yeah, are you gay, sir?
All right, Liberty City, this is your talk radio show, Chatterbox, where your opinion matters. Let's go to the phones. Hello, caller, you're on Chatterbox.
Hello, Laszlo. It's me, Mort, again. I was playing Fallout 76, and I became a victim of the gay eliminators. I really hope that the ADL and the DHS will do something about these horrible acts of extremism and terrorism in video games. I was so scared that I fell down the stairs and my shoes fell off. And before I knew it, I woke up covered in cat piss because I was out cold for a whole day. And Mr. Kitty was very upset that he didn't get his fancy piece.
All right, next caller, you're on Chatterbox. What is on your mind?
Bird of-
From this tweet alone, I would bet $1,000 a woman wrote it. Let's take a look at the article, Stu. Looks like Daddy Gundam's right. A woman wrote it. Regulate toxic online video games the same as social media. Yeah, let's just make life more miserable for the citizens that obey the law and take their stress out in a video game while people steal from stores across the country in blue states. And nobody does anything. Don't even look at them. Don't confront them. But the gamers? No, we gotta stop them. The too long didn't read is the usual you'd expect from these opinion puff pieces. Written by a woman in a high-rise apartment drinking boxed wine with no clear idea of what the fuck she's talking about. They're using instances of mentally unstable people who committed crimes as a barometer for the whole of the gaming community. If someone from the Alphabet Mafia commits the same crimes, we're told to be tolerant and not to be bigoted. Don't you say anything. But gamers are afforded the same level of courtesy. Hell no. Here's one part that you might find humorous despite the subject matter. And it's my job to bring this to you in a way that is palatable, so you can do your job without wanting to jump out of the factory window or roll your body out of the moving Amazon truck and let it plow into the gas station. She comes with a new phrase for people radicalized, quotation mark, by gaming. She calls it gamification.
Gentrification!
Remember when stuff like this was in Onion articles?
In order to get answers, I knew I had to take a new tactic, appealing to man's most carnal desires.
Hey boy, you like what you see? You like?
Oh, not again. Get away.
Oh, me? You don't know me. My name Cherry Pie.
No, you're not. Get out of here.
You want sucky sucky?
Oh, I'm calling you the police. Sucky, sucky.
The next part, after she talks about someone bubbling people at the Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo, and I quote, "I probably wouldn't be as nationalistic if it weren't for Blood and Iron Roblox, a popular online game. The footage you are seeing right now, I would ask you to watch with extreme caution because it may radicalize you, as it did this man." You see, this guy wasn't just mentally unstable because it's Roblox. How in the name of God does Roblox inspire you to do anything? It was just the late night gaming sessions that pushed him clean over the edge.
The Department of Homeland Security donated $700K.
We all know. For a few of these oddball groups that study, quotation marks, extremist in gaming. In every hobby, there are whack jobs because people are crazy. And it isn't limited to gaming. How many crazy-ass football fans have we seen? I went to the Motherboard/Wired website to read about this. But then the webpage became a 404 every time I looked at it.
Extremist and terrorist recruiting, especially among white nationalists and white supremacist groups, has been a prolific problem in the online gaming space. There is no evidence to support this sentence, and even Kotaku knows this.
And he wasn't wrong. Kotaku did point this out.
NPR is very worried that gaming is going to turn kids into Nazi.
Once again, would have been an Onion article in 2010.
Yesterday, the NPR published an article titled, "Right-Wing Hate Groups Are Recruiting Video Gamers," in quotation marks. It's the latest, most exaggerated version of a gaming-flavored narrative woven by elite media orgs in an apparent attempt to explain the rise of right-wing extremists in America.
When Kotaku is a voice of reason, you know we've reached the darkest timeline humanly possible. And when companies use these sort of goofy articles to put in their PowerPoints while going to the Department of Homeland Security asking for free money, we have an issue here that will never be solved because I'm just a YouTuber and you're someone killing time in between jobs. Let's take a deeper look into the company Take This org.
The money is going to a joint venture between Middlebury Institute's Center on Terrorism, Extremism, and Counterterrorism. Take This, which is a nonprofit specializing in mental health and video games, and logically a company attempting to solve the problem of bad online behavior at a scale?
Right.
Counterterrorism and Take This, Bully Hunters 2.0. How do you counter someone calling you a bundle of sticks and then teabagging you in Halo Infinite?
Safe message, Sunday, 7:48 p.m.
Hello? Take This? Call the Department of Homeland Security. I've been molested in Call of Duty. They called me a Zionist pig.
I took the time to watch some of their past keynotes from 2022 to 2023, and needless to say, it was painful. It's what you'd expect from these types of people who seem to find problems in everything and everywhere and think that everything should be a safe space.
In the United States, the industry has rallied around social justice, mental health, pride, trans rights, and women's rights as well. You know, I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. But I also believe that we have a long way to go before our industry is in a place that is welcome to all.
Okay. Why would I ever not do what I want to do? Like, why would I ever not go for it? Why would I ever not be great? I mean, I'm passionate about what I do because I like what I do. One day I woke up and had an idea, and that idea had to exist as a game. And that idea was Heronaut. Heronaut is a simple web browser game. Ava is just trying to get from point A to point B, and the obstacles are other people's hands. They're just like, oh, your hair, it looks so... It's my hair. I think the game shed a lot of light on the difficulties that Black women face, especially with our hair that Black women go through. It showed the anxiety that happens.
I gotta say, if this is the type of stuff they want to platform, then I'll stick to being a bigot in games like Helldivers and Stellar Blade, where the woman's body fat is under 30%. What a treat.
Stop him!
This is a game about touching a Black woman's hair. Vice did a video spotlight on it that can best be summed up as audible and visual cringe. But needless to say, the demand for this game is non-existent because I've never heard of it. This is where grant money goes, I guess.
Well, here's the document to show the $700K to waste people's time, make PowerPoints, and print the word extremist over and over and over again.
For studios during the time of Gamergate, the community leadership at the time was of an opinion, well, two things. Republicans buy shoes too, which is don't make any outward statements of how wrong all of that was because you might offend paying customers and threaten your bottom line or whatever.
Oh my God, I'm not reading the rest of this.
This work is made possible by grants from the Department of Homeland Security.
Outer Loop Games, the brand new blah blah Bungie. You could suck if Bungie sucks. The fact Silverstring Media is getting money for anything blows my mind. I covered them in my last video. You can look there. Long story short, Anita Sarkeesian was a director there for a while. And Lego Butts, you know, the really weird person from Sweet Baby Inc. that said a lot of crazy stuff, also worked there. Weird how... All of this explains why Canada is now launching their own investigation into gamers to the tune of $300,000.
Ottawa announces funding to study the links to violent extremism in video games.
What does that even mean? Most games are about violence, you gooblet.
On March 14th, Chris was back to whacking the hornet's nest. This man is the reason why all of this stuff popped off in the first place, and he still can't stop. Like, bro, walk away from the internet. Use your brain. What the hell are you doing? Just don't post anything goofy. You should be posting stuff like, I pet a cat today, and I fed some ducks at the park.
This group still should be taken down.
Is he still on about the damn Steam group?
By the way, if not for the conspiracies, then definitely the Nazis. They're doing phrenology in there.
Wired then put out a puff piece for Sweet Baby. And it's what you'd expect. Honest to God, it's the same thing we've gotten before. They had a quote from Kim Blair as well.
You shouldn't be sending this kind of hate to anybody, Blair says. If you don't like something, that's just fine. Deal with it. Don't buy another game if you don't want to. But you don't need to launch a whole campaign about it.
Lady, that Chris guy, fire him. Do yourself a favor. The whole reason this all happened is because Chris don't know how to shut the hell up. Chris gets in his feelings and then just says shit. And everyone on Twitter is watching him with a microscope. What do? You hold on to him. This is why women can't lead. He's a misogynist. Anyway, the next day, Chris does it again. Are you surprised? He's a habitual line step. He tries to get Asmongold removed from Dragon's Dogma 2 promotion or something. Like, he's just pointing out. He's stoking the flames.
Isn't it crazy that one of these people is an active participant in the harassment campaign?
There you go again, Chris. You just started trouble. He deleted this tweet after backlash. And I bet he thinks to himself when he posts this stuff, I'm speaking truth to power. Then when people body him and come after him, he starts screaming he's a victim. Ah, the game is they're hateful, they're evil, they're doing phrenology. They're quoting Goebbels. On the same day, everyone on Twitter finally took notice of the fairly racist developer that's now working for EA that used to work at Sweet Baby. You know, the chick who defended the Kotaku journalist who said you can't be racist towards white people, which is ridiculous. Anyway, she's working on the Black Panther. In an old interview from about 2 years ago, she was boasting about not hiring white people to make a safe space for black people.
I have a team of 21 right now for Validate. It's a pretty big team. It's a crazy big team for indie games. But who is your team? Validate has a team of mostly all people of color. We have no white people on our team. I did that because I wanted to create a safe environment. And I know the best way for an environment to be safe is to be around people who are just like me. And I'm not saying that white people in the industry are creating safe, unsafe environments. I'm not saying that. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that sometimes it is hard to work with white people because they think that something may be okay, but it was really a microaggression.
I will not Jodie Foster this kind of behavior.
Okay.
Now, let's be real here. If a white developer said the same thing about black people, Wired wouldn't be so laissez-faire about it. Which honestly, when you look at it objectively, through the lens of someone not so far left that they literally see segregation as a good thing, you know this is bad. Here's the little cut from Wired.
Former Sweet Baby developer who has since gone on to another studio for speaking about creating a safe environment for a team of color.
What do the white developers do that's so evil? She can't tell you. They're just existing and she's a racist. There you go.
If we look at her older tweets about her dog game no one played on Steam, she was triggered by the idea that people only played the white guy because all the other characters were so phenomenally ugly. Only a brainlet would purposefully make a game full of ugly people, knowing damn well no one wants to be ugly in reality, let alone a fantasy.
Hey, real talk, giving the most attention to Keaton, our only white playable character, and not to the other 12 characters of color is very heartbreaking to see. You guys can do whatever you want, but just know that was never the intention when we put him in the game.
What does that tell you? A game called Validate.
When approaching media, Please really think about your biases when it comes to white characters versus characters of color.
Maybe if you made the characters of color not really ridiculously ugly, people would have played them. What are you smoking, lady?
How you treat them.
They're not real, they're sprites, you freak!
How you interact with them, etc. It's very important to have these thoughts in your mind, especially when it comes to media with majority POCs.
Can you imagine how many lives this is going to be saving?
Why would you buy anything this woman makes? I made a game for you, but you're playing it wrong. Go f*** yourself. Keaton's the only one that doesn't look like something off the island of Dr. Moreau, and she's upset. Look at this. Look at this. A game she put out, only 80 people bothered to play it at one time.
The person who may validate the game, full-blown, fugly people with cringe personalities, is now working at EA on their Black Panther game. Don't tell me failing upwards isn't a thing. Laughing my ass off.
Long as you're a person of color, preferably a woman.
Ask Lily Singh.
He's a monster.
And then she gets to work at Electronic Arts. By this metric, I should be in major films as a comedian. Anyway, our favorite Kotaku journalist was interviewed on a podcast that no one cares about. Of course, Chris popped in to inform everyone in the chat that the harassment the sweet baby was experiencing originally began with Kiwi Farms back in October. This is new news. Is he rewriting history? Who knows and who cares? But I can guarantee you his ass will be back in a week doing something stupid. On the other hand, this could be true because Chris is a lolcow. This interview was a fluff piece echo chamber, complete with hosts deleting comments and replying to actual valid comments with remarks like, "Oh, you're really mad about it, aren't you? Thanks for the engagement." That's exactly how you win yourself some extra fans with a small channel. You antagonize a few people that bothered to interact with your dumb ass. Enjoy it, my dudes, because this is your peak. It's all downhill from here. Merry Christmas.
I think that the people who made that Discord and who made that Steam page and who are arguing in my Twitter are kind of trying to act like, "Well, we're so clever because we made sure to take out language that made it clear that we didn't want Black people in games." Or
could not concentrate on what this old man was saying.
Everything she says seems to be full of it, with dated talking points. As a minority, I'm sick of stuff from companies like Sweet Baby. I'm sick of diversity and inclusion if it isn't organic. If characters are added just to make some asshat feel represented, then it doesn't feel natural. And it feels weak. But Alyssa's stance on all of this are the usual talking points and tropes. Everyone who doesn't like it is a white male gamer that hates minorities and women. She completely ignores the fact that the damn group was created by a Brazilian, and people from all walks of life supporting it are doing it to stick it to the status quo. By the way, her argument that everyone is basically white and racist and a misogynist completely falls apart when you realize that most gamers are also into anime. And what's the biggest anime right now? It's Frieren, a show with nothing but female leads, and everybody loves it because it's well written. It is a great female protagonist that feels natural, likable, relatable, and understandable. She isn't some unstoppable girl boss with a half-shaved head, running around flexing like she's Macho Man Randy Savage. That's right, I just roasted you, bitch.
Stop him!
The next day, more developers shared their support for Sweet Baby and so on. We've got Richie soon at GDC.
Anytime someone has GDC in their name, you know that they're a douchebag.
He's out of line. But he's right.
I've been seeing more and more hateful Gamergate-esque opinions. I want to be clear where I stand. I don't tolerate any harassment, violence, threats towards devs, minorities, women, and other industries in space that I own or have control over.
Well, congratulations. Here's a round of applause.
I don't care about your opinions and won't go into discourse with you.
I'm glad. I feel the same.
I'm not interested in explaining to you how little you know the workings of the industry.
I know enough to know that you guys all suck and games are really blowing dick right now and the industry is hemorrhaging money.
And I will report and block your account immediately.
What a dude. He's so tough. It's like John Rambo.
And if by chance you happen to be working in the industry and you're voicing said opinions, I'll screenshot you, put you in a personal list, and advocate that you'll never work at a company or work for and associate it with blah, blah, blah. Cheers.
Oh my.
Well, That's a lovely little statement. Nothing says acceptance like letting other people know in the industry. If you side with gamers on the subject, you'll never work again. How progressive of you, Richie. Zoom in, number one. Let's see, Richie's soon at GDC, the founder of Bare Knuckle, helping blah, 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 partner manager, Ravel. Yeah. Bare Knuckles is an inclusive business development consultant and experienced up-and-coming game dev who self-publishes their games, founded by Rich. Oh, what a surprise. The founder of Bare Knuckle looks like another grifter company to me.
Consultants in gaming is the equivalent of hiring a dating coach or a life coach. It's shit nobody really needs, but only the stupidest people pay for.
Anyone consider that games are made by large teams of diverse people, all looking to see themselves in media we're making? What if the DEI isn't an agenda, but a reflection of what's actually happening in the real world outside your window?
Ah, yes, the presumptuous notion that everyone that games has absolutely no life. And let me guess, they're fat chuds covered in Dorito dust living in their mom's basement?
No, I don't.
A lot of gamers are adults now, out there working, paying bills, and with their free time or money, they try to sink a little bit into their favorite hobby that's now turning into an absolute boner fest of stupidity. Paul, I'm going to sum it to you very briefly. You suck. You are a writer for Insomniac. You're writing for Wolverine and Spider-Man. Guess what? Spider-Man 2 story, it sucked. It was garbage. But you're lucky. Most people today can barely read, let alone have cognitive thought or critical thinking. So your job's safe. Also, self. You want to see yourself? Create your own thing. Don't take established characters and IPs and interject yourself into them. We want to see the heroes, not failed novelists reduced to writing for video game companies to create fan fiction that only appeals to kids who sit on TikTok all day with the mental capacity of a hive mind bee. You're not Hemingway. You work at Insomniac, a company that's creative days are far behind them. The Spider-Man game you guys made is literally, and when I say literally, I mean it, Arkham City without their great writing and solid gameplay mechanics.
Now I finished with you, you may go!
More journalists picking up the torch, smelling fresh clicks for their inevitable replacement with AI robots. I welcome Skynet. We'll only cover one because I have a tribute to get to. Someone that understood how to make stories people could love across the world.
Tell me then. Go to God of War or Suicide Squad, Alan Wake 2. Go to these games and tell me with proof that Sweet Baby wrote it.
Here we go. Here's the ending screens. Writing Sweet Baby Inc. right there at the top. Isn't it Kim Blair? I can't see. It is. There you go.
Asserting Sweet Baby forced Saga Anderson to be black is not good faith assumption based on the words in the game. The director asserting Sweet Baby forced any...
You read it yourself. Here you go. You can read it here along with work and story and narrative. Consultation from Kim Blair of Sweet Baby Inc. to refine the character's voice and story arc. The key creativity of Alan Wake 2 was also working extensively active playing Saga Anderson. Blah, 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 blah. We've highlighted it all for you because ain't nobody got time for this no more.
More Nathan Grayson. I honestly say I hate this job.
This kind of lays the whole thing bare. A lot of these people don't even care about the games they're trying to please all that much.
Basically, he's quoting the Wired person who just says that Cabutus Rambo didn't play all the Sweet Baby games. Now, let's be real here. Cabutus is in Brazil and their money's weak. I don't think little dude has a few hundred bucks to buy every game Sweet Baby Inc. was involved in to make sure they all sucked. We literally have journalists sitting there and going, this guy from a country that's kind of broke didn't spend money on games he wouldn't like. He's a fraud. David Bedar put out a statement. I don't even care to read it. Like, I kind of read it, but I'm not reading it again. He's acting like shit randomly happened instead of saying, yeah, our guy Chris did something stupid and really set people off. We're really sorry about that. Nah, can't do that.
It's the gamers. They just came after us. One morning, they were all screaming, Trump, 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 in the DMs. And I wet myself in sheer terror.
By this time, the quotation marks Gamergate 2 movement picked up so much steam, Boogie2988 started doing videos on it. And Matt Walsh.
It's over. We are screwed.
This is fine.
And Matt Walsh. of all people, came in to act as if no one was reporting on the BS of the gaming industry for years. Matt Walsh was bringing this news to the mainstream because no one did it before.
That the video game industry, without a lot of fanfare, has transformed into a tool of both propaganda and surveillance. It's an effective way to indoctrinate children precisely because it hasn't received much attention, and also because children spend, many of them, hundreds of hours a year, and that might be an undercount, a severe undercount, with this kind of content. So it should get a lot of our attention. And now finally, that attention is here. And it's yet another reason to keep these games as far away from your children as possible. And if you do that, games journalists, literally the lowest form of journalists on the planet, will accuse you of harassment. And that's exactly how you'll know that you're doing the right thing.
The Daily Wire is a perfect example of why conservatives will never win the culture war. Because they not only turn a blind eye to it, they show it and those who enjoy pop culture media pure disdain. This is why the progressives try like hell to lay claim in ownership of pop culture. Because those who are in control of it control the future. Because pop culture is cool to younger people. Nobody's looking for angry old conservatives. In this overly long rundown of information, Matt Walsh knows all about on the subject, and he cares even less about. It's clear to any viewer that isn't a die-hard Daily Wire fan, his mind is made up, and his views are just completely soaked in confirmation bias. Had the Daily Wire given a flip to understand gamers rather than shaming them, maybe things might be slightly different.
It's a statistic that, at least if you were born at any point prior to the 1990s, might be hard to believe. By revenue, the gaming industry is bigger than both the movie industry and the music industry combined. And for the past several years, it hasn't been especially close. The difference is consistently more than $100 billion per year.
No, it's not shocking because we don't have our heads up our asses like you do and those that surround you. From your ivory tower of conservatism. Jesus Christ, the right and the left are two sides of the same coin. And if you're in the middle, they both take a fat steaming shit on you. Here's an old classic from Daddy Walsh.
Stop pretending violent video games are harmless just because you like playing them.
That's right. Matt Walsh has the same belief system as the far left does about violent video games. Here's another classic from 2018.
Video games are a sacred cow in this country, and I'm tired of it. Our country is filled with adults who are obsessed with them. So we must all pretend insanely that there's nothing wrong with or disturbing about a child spending it all day killing people in a virtual world.
The kids are playing Fortnite and dancing, my dude. It's not that deep.
Of course it's harmful to the child. It's harmful to any adult included. No, and nobody in the world has ever made that claim, but it's harming him. And we need to face the facts.
Here are links to his things denouncing it. Thank you, Daddy Walsh. Never forget his stance on gamers and gaming. Other YouTubers, content creators called out Matt Walsh in the Daily Wire on covering the subject, and it went about as well as you expect.
Gamergate 2, the parasites are coming. People just looking to profit off of our issues can go elsewhere. No need for Matt Walsh in the Daily Wire. I have to say, I've been a target of some extremely unreasonable backlashes in the past, but this one is probably the most ridiculous yet. This time, people are mad that I talked about an issue in the news. Apparently, I have no right to discuss it because I'm not in the club. Truly the dumbest outrage I've ever encountered in my life. And man, is that really saying something. Matt Walsh is the first person to highlight wokeness in video games in the industry, according to Matt Walsh. I love when people just completely invent shit I never said or even come close to saying and then get all mad about it, the thing that they invented in their heads. Ugh.
I remember when Matt Walsh pointlessly trashed a life-size Gundam in Japan. On that day, I knew that this man was a complete and total douchebag. You can't look at a life-size giant robot and go, oh, it's a waste of money. We waste money every day in this country. We don't have one giant robot.
Gamers are all man-children and jealous of Matt Walsh. That's why they are poking fun at him, the Daily Wire staff Greg. There are no serious adults in the gaming industry. It's a man-children all the way down.
this one is clearly dragging Matt Walsh into the drama to maximize attention. Yep, once Elon posted Matt's monologue, they all got offended at their hobby was being covered by someone who doesn't play games. Also, likely a lot of jealousy. You said wokeness in video games hadn't received much attention, which is, well, not accurate. Maybe it seems that way if you're totally divorced from gaming. It's basically like if someone who disses politics all the time suddenly said, gee, has anyone noticed that the left doesn't know what a woman is? Posts like this kind prove this point. The space is dominated by so many stupid people that they can't even comprehend the content of a 20-second clip.
Do you see the just absolute open disdain for anyone that doesn't suck their ass? Like, Jesus Christ. It's just so many pompous douchebags.
The coverage of ESG and SBI's influence in gaming to push DEI is what's finally getting mainstream attention. And I don't see why it's controversial to say that games are incredibly popular with kids and propagandize them. Your comment is essentially projection. You're accusing Matt of being puritanical, while at the same time trashing anyone who doesn't recite the precise history of Gamergate that you feel is all important.
This is dragging on. There's no point in this anymore. I've actually fully 100% had it with this. There's so much garbage here that's pointless to your information, so we're gonna streamline from here.
This ruffles my jammies!
Grom's attempted to talk to people at the Daily Wire and found out that they're not sincere, which I could have told Grom's if he sent me a message like, hey, Gundam, I'm going to contact the Daily Wire and see if they'll blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, don't waste your time. The Daily Wire thinks we're all douchebags. They think they're better than us. Privately, Nerdrotic said the Daily Wire looks down on us. And now I have unequivocal proof, I may have said that wrong, that they do. Screw them. Screw this. Let's just put an end to this. I'm sorry if people actually wanted me to read out all of this stupidity, but it's a waste of life. The train is officially off the wheels and flying off the track. It's going down the mountain at this point. From the government getting involved to conservative YouTubers that hate the media they are covering and the people that enjoy it, we have reached the critical mass of stupidity, greed, and avarice. What should have been a nothing burger has gone global, and there's no stopping it now. This whole event will spark future moronicism that will be used to gaslight people into rash decisions and confirmation biases. With an election on the way, it can and will only get worse. So buckle up, kids. There's no stopping the misery machine now. So put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.